Hello, and welcome back to the American Academy of Psychiatry and the Law Landmark Forensic Cases podcast. Today, we'll be discussing Lake v. Cameron, which was decided in the United States Court of Appeals, District of Columbia Circuit in 1966. The question before the court was, can a patient be involuntarily held in a hospital under civil commitment if there are safe, less restrictive alternatives available? The facts of the case were, in 1962, a 60-year-old Catherine Lake was found confused and wandering the streets of Washington, D.C. She was apprehended by police and taken to the D.C. General Hospital, then transferred and committed to St. Elizabeth's Hospital, where Dale Cameron served as the superintendent. There, she filed a writ of habeas corpus for her release, which was denied. While Miss Lake was hospitalized, a piece of legislation called the District of Columbia Hospitalization of the Mentally Ill Act was passed in 1964. This addressed the care, treatment, and rights of individuals with mental illnesses in Washington, D.C. It reflected this national shift at the time toward balancing the need for treatment with balancing the civil liberties of mentally ill individuals. It specifically stated that mentally ill individuals who were considered dangerous to themselves or others could either be hospitalized or treated in a manner that maintained their best interest and protected public safety. At Catherine Lake's next commitment hearing, testimony was heard from multiple psychiatrists. Two psychiatrists testified that she was mentally ill, and one testified that she had, quote, organic brain syndrome, unquote, associated with aging that caused her to have frequent memory deficits. One psychiatrist said, quote, she was not dangerous to others and would not intentionally harm herself, but was prone to wandering away and being exposed at night, unquote. The conclusion drawn from this testimony was that Miss Lake would benefit from being in a supervised facility, like a nursing home, but didn't necessarily need constant medical supervision in the hospital. Her family offered to help in the outpatient setting, but they didn't have the means to provide around-the-clock competent supervision, and her civil commitment was renewed. Miss Lake appealed to the U.S. Court of Appeals, D.C. Circuit, arguing that her continued commitment violated her due process protections under the 14th Amendment. Armed with the psychiatrist's testimony that Miss Lake did not necessarily require hospitalization for her best interest or public safety, and with the relatively new D.C. Hospitalization of the Mentally Ill Act of 1964, the case was remanded back to the district court to seek the least restrictive alternative treatment. The majority opined that, quote, deprivations of liberty solely because of dangers to the ill persons themselves should not go beyond what is necessary for their protection, unquote. They suggested that the hospital explore alternatives, including constant carrying of an identification card and acquiring feasible outpatient support. This is a situation that we psychiatrists deal with on an all too regular basis. A patient with dementia is not outwardly violent, but simply wanders away from their residence without the mental faculties to care for themselves or find their way back to safety. What benefit would inpatient psychiatric hospitalization have over, say, a nursing home or an around-the-clock home health aide? Lake v. Cameron was the first legal case to address this and coin the phrase, quote, least restrictive alternative, end quote. Unfortunately for Miss Lake, a least restrictive alternative was never identified, and she died of pneumonia 5 years later, while still under the custody of St. Elizabeth's Hospital. In summary, the 1966 case of Lake v. Cameron established that a patient cannot be civilly committed to a hospital if a safe, less restrictive alternative is available.